like to thank the leadership of the church for this privilege and honor to stand before you and preach God's word. I count it a great honor. And I'd like to first apologize that my wife is not here. We didn't fight. She had to work, and she couldn't get time off because of the nature of what she's doing. But I did come with some two side effects that came to support me. Shane and Asher, my daughter and my son. The third one couldn't come because it would have been a handful without the mother being here. So they are here to support me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, today, as we look into God's word, I'd like to draw your attention to the fact that you are a victor in Christ. Amen? We want to talk about overcoming adversity. I love the song that Morphia just sang, that out of the ashes is made something beautiful. Now, life is the way it is. We go through different situations, different circumstances. We all have some issues to deal with. We have circumstances that are adverse, that are uncomfortable, that even contradict who we are as believers. Sometimes we live below God's best, if you know what I'm talking about. Living sometimes with spiritual potholes, you know, even ditches, and sometimes discomforts and contradictions regarding our lives as believers. You see a picture of what the Bible says you are, and you see a contradiction in your own life. And so not everything is okay. Not everything is together. Some things are not quite the way they should be. But I want us to consider today how that we can overcome adversity and get to the place where God wants us to be. Get to the place that we desire, that the Bible says we should be. So God's desire is that we may be whole completely. Everything about us may be whole. One of the things that I find difficult is that if God has touched you, let's say for instance you're not feeling well, God touches you, you've got a headache, he heals you, and then you still got a problem in your heart or in your liver or something like that, I think when God touches you, he makes you completely whole. He doesn't forget bits about you. Now these contradictions, we find a way in Scripture, as we're going to read what we do in Scripture, to overcome and become victorious completely. Because there are some situations where you are very healthy, but very broke. Isn't that true? Or you have a lot of money, but you've got some condition called cardiac osteoporosis. That shouldn't be the case. God wants us to be whole. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So let's turn our Bibles to Joshua chapter 21. Joshua chapter 21. Praise the Lord. Joshua chapter 21 and verse 43 to 45. Now here's a situation in the Bible which gives us a picture of how you should battle as a child of God and how you should gain victory as a child of God. Joshua, to give you a little bit of a background, they are just on the brink of entering the promised land. The land that God had promised them that they would have. They're just on the brink there. They're just on the brink in this book. And so Canaan, by the way, is not a type of heaven. Canaan is a type of your full inheritance. You entering your inheritance here on earth. That's what Canaan is. Because if it was a type of heaven, there wouldn't be giants, there wouldn't be issues to fight. Heaven is a place of rest. But Canaan is your inheritance here. And the Bible depicts for us a condition that we must get into in order to have victory in this life. Now, I don't discount that some things are tough, some things are difficult. But Joshua begins to tell us that God has given you the victory. So, again, Joshua is, the meaning of Joshua is Yahweh is salvation. That is in the Hebrew. Now, when you correlate that with the New Testament, which is in the Greek, the name Joshua is Jesus, God's salvation. So Joshua was leading them into the possession of what God had promised. So let's look at this story and pick it up where everything was brought to fruition in the life of the children of Israel. Joshua chapter 21, verse 43-45. So the Lord gave to Israel all the land of which he had sworn to give to them, to their fathers, and they took possession of it and dwelt in it. The Lord gave them rest all around. You see, they were completely whole. God gave them rest all around according to all that he had sworn to their fathers. And not a man of all their enemies stood against them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. Not a word failed of any good thing which the Lord had promised to the house of Israel. All came to pass. There wasn't just something that just didn't work out. All came to pass. Wouldn't we like to have complete wholeness? Everything is okay. Nothing missing, nothing broken. And I believe the Lord wants us to get to that place. God wants us to experience wholeness in Jesus, where there's nothing missing and nothing broken. Amen. So you see, when life throws you lemons, you must learn to make lemonade with it. Don't blame anybody. Don't curse people. Just take life as it comes and know the victory that God has given you already to overcome the issues of life. Move on to another passage of scripture. That is a statement we've just read. This is the condition that God brought the children of Israel. And now we are in a better covenant. We're in a better dispensation, a better testament. Now we need to experience this same victory. How do we do that? Turn your Bibles to 1 Samuel and we'll use this passage of scripture to pivot us into the place, into the New Testament where we find this victory. 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30, a very interesting story, and you might find yourself here. You may just find yourself here. Now let me back up. I wanted to use verse 8, but let me back up a little bit from verse 4 so that you see the picture of what was happening here. Or perhaps let me back up to verse 1. Now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites and had invaded the south in Ziklag and attacked Ziklag and burnt it with fire and had taken captive the women and those who were there from small to great. They did not kill anyone but carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city and there it was, burnt with fire, and their wives, their sons and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. That's how bad it was. And when men come to this point in life, you know it's desperate. They wept until they, can you imagine getting tired of crying? How many of you are tired of crying? I've had enough of crying. So they wept until they had no strength to weep anymore. And David's two wives, that's another story why he had two. Ahinoam and the Jezreelitess and Abigail, the widow. I don't know how he managed two mother-in-laws, but anyway, that's another issue. And Abigail, the widow of Nabal, the Carmelite, had been taken captive. Now David, this is where the story begins for us to see how we can overcome adversity. Now David was greatly distressed, and it's normal to be distressed. It's normal to be discouraged. It's normal sometimes to be depressed over a condition. Now, before you kill yourself, listen to the end of this message, okay? Then you can decide what to do after the service. David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. And I pray that you be strengthened today in the Lord your God. No matter what it is you're going through. And in a place like this, in a crowd like this, there are very different things that people are going through. Some it's sickness. Some it's a problem in a marriage. Some it's a problem of a work situation. Some it's a problem of all kinds. Now, I pray that you be strengthened in the Lord, your God. Then David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, please bring the ephod here to me. And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. Verse 8. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And God answered him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them and without fail recover all. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Without fail, recover all. Now this is what God is saying to you and me. Pursue, overtake, and recover all. I don't care what the devil has done. It doesn't matter what he is continuing to do. What you need to do is to pursue, overtake, and recover all. Pursue, overtake, and recover all. Let's begin. Number one. You need to pursue. What does the Bible tell us? When we move into the New Testament, we have already been given an inheritance in Christ. Are you with me? You've been given an inheritance in Christ. But there's a difference with knowing you've been given an inheritance and possessing the inheritance. The difference between believers is that there are some who know and that there are some who possess. There are some who live out the victory that God has made available, and there are some who basically just know about it. But I pray that today you too and me too can pursue, can begin to pursue. Because when God declares a promise to you, he has declared your purpose. He has said, this is for you. So pursue. What do we do? Number one, have a Holy Spirit-led promise. You must have a Holy Spirit-led promise. The promises of God are yes and amen in Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us. So you must first of all realize what is yours. What is yours? If it's sickness, the Bible says he has provided healing. Is that not right? If it's lack, he says he provides, he's Jehovah Jireh. He has given you all things. If it's pain, there is relief for that pain. The Bible says in Mark chapter 11 and verse 24. That when you pray, what does it say? Therefore, I say unto you, whatsoever things that you desire, when you pray, believe that you have them and you shall have them. Pursuing means you are getting a grip on a Holy Ghost promise. Something the Holy Spirit has promised. Something that the Bible tells you is yours. Get a grip on it. Tell yourself, this indeed is mine. I am going for it. I am going to have it. And the Bible says the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. How is it that we're living below God's best? Sometimes we don't make a conscious decision to go after what God has said is ours. Go after it. Go and get it. It's yours. Pursue, overtake, and recover all. Number one, realize what is yours. A Holy Ghost promise given to you. How many of you can I see? If you don't want to put your hand up, it's okay. Have had some adversity. Some difficulty. Some even when coming to church today, they had some adversity between the two of them. Husband and wife. And I told Pastor William that I didn't fight. That's why she's not here. I did not fight. And sometimes we have fought, by the way. Don't believe it when they tell you that it doesn't happen. It does. Even among preachers, it does. Perhaps even worse. Yeah. Pursue. Get the Holy Ghost promise in your system. This is mine. And I learned a very interesting thing about how the Word of God works. It works in hearing it, you hear the Word. And it works in understanding it, you understand the Word. And then it works in believing it, you believe the Word. And then it works in speaking it, you speak the Word. You hear it, you understand it, you believe it, and you speak it. There's no passiveness in this walk with the Lord, because you are in a battlefield, whether you like it or not. Whether you believe it or not, you're in a battlefield, and the enemy you're fighting hates you. Even those of you who love him, he still hates you. That's how bad he is. So you might as well begin to take the position God has given you and begin to fight your battle and realize your inheritance. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Not only are you supposed to pursue, the second thing you do, the Bible tells us, God told him, you pursue it. Overtake. Fulfill the conditions attached to the promise. Fulfill the conditions attached to the promise. That's how you overtake. One of the most critical areas in a believer's life is when you do it God's way, you will get God's results. If you don't do it God's way, it's very unlikely you will get God's results. So when we are being encouraged, overtake. Fulfill the conditions of the promise. God makes a promise. The problem is that we short circuit the promise because we don't want to do it God's way. And I can suggest to you that one important area that short circuits our faith is unforgiveness. Sin and unforgiveness. There's a short circuit. Some of you need to remember that the best way you're going to free yourself and get into God's inheritance is by forgiving. Forgive. Start with your spouse. Here's my suggestion. If your spouse, your wife, is giving you a hard time, have a positive outlook and just say, but she's an idiot, but I still love her. Oh, nigamfana. Just learn to forgive. I'm telling you, it's a key in the spiritual walk. Because the Bible says, if you don't forgive, neither does your Father forgive you. You are short-circuiting your own life. You short-circuit it. Forgive. And don't be a person who holds. You're only working against yourself. You hold such grudge and such hurt and such pain, such discomfort for something that happened 10 years ago. If I just remember, I am telling you, I will kill. Release yourself by forgiving. Now, if you are with your husband here, or with your wife, I want you to look at them. And don't do... And just simply say, I forgive you. I really do forgive you. If you don't fulfill the conditions of a promise, you can say what you like, you can do what you like, it just won't work. It won't work. That's something I've discovered in Scripture. It just won't work. Because God is true to His Word. The Bible is telling us, overtake, fulfill the condition that the promises. God has made many big and glorious promises for those of us who are saved. Those of you who are not saved, you can be today. You can be sure that you get into the family of God and begin to take a hold of God's inheritance. Because Jesus has died for you already. It's open for you. What are you waiting for? It's yours. Here's what the Bible says in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has qualified us. You didn't need anybody to qualify you. He's the one who has qualified you to be a partaker of the inheritance of the saints. And a great relief for me in the walk with God was to learn early that God is no respecter of persons. He's no respecter of persons. We are on the same playing field. God has no favorites. He just has one. All of us. Hallelujah. You have been qualified. The third thing that God said to David, which we must embrace in our New Testament experience, is recover all. Recover all. What is he saying to us? Have a positive expectation and let your faith act for fulfillment. Have a positive expectation and let your faith act. Have you realized, have you noticed that in your walk with God, there are some areas that you struggle with? Am I the only one here who's real? Some areas that you struggle with. Sometimes people say this, that I don't have any problem with believing that God can do anything, but I have a problem with believing that He will do it for me. And sometimes the areas of struggle may be many different types. Sometimes, you know, you struggle to believe God for healing, or you struggle to believe God to give you what you've been desiring for a very long time. And sometimes you struggle to believe God can change your circumstance. But the Bible is full of people who are just like you, who came to a place of victory. And I pray that this day may be the start of your victory. Can you say amen again? This day may be the start of your victory. Psalm 37 verse 5 says this. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. It doesn't say He may bring it to pass. Perhaps it might happen. Well, perhaps you're not special enough. You're not anointed enough. You're not knowledgeable enough. You need a few degrees. You need a little bit of understanding of financial issues. The stock exchange. You need to understand these things. It doesn't say that. What you're believing God for, He says He will bring it to pass. You commit your way to the Lord. You also just simply trust in Him and He will bring it to pass. When you take a hold of what He has said to you, commit it to Him, He'll bring it to pass. Amen. He'll bring it to pass. You see, inheritance in Christ is what you potentially have. Potentially. Inheritance in Christ. It's potential. But possession of that inheritance is what you begin to realize and experience. So God wants you not to just know about this, but to experience all the victory available in Christ. I've said to myself, I've got to experience Jesus. I have to experience what he has said. If he has said it and it's for me, I must experience it. If he has said it and it's for me, I must experience it. You must experience it. Even life teaches you that. There are certain things that you must do. There are certain things that you must go for. If you're broke, you must see the inheritance in Christ in being abundant, in your needs met. And if you're bold-headed, you know, you contradict yourself if you're broke. Because boldness means you have money. Huh? And if you don't have the money, grow some hair. Yeah? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I once had an afro. Anyway. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Grow some hair. Praise God. Let's move into inheritance. Amen. Let's move into inheritance. God has given you all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him. You ought to pursue, you ought to overtake, and you ought to recover all. And let me just encourage you with the promises that he has already made, so that you grasp these promises and say, they are mine and I'm going to live by them. I'm going to get a hold of what God has made available for me, and I'll act on it. Acting on what you believe. Acting on what you believe. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Look at what the Bible says. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Oh, let me move back first of all. Sorry about that. Let me move to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Sorry, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57 to 58. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of God, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Hallelujah. Keep doing it. Keep doing the right thing. Keep moving forward. You shall have your reward. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. The Bible says, now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph. Does he lead us some of the time? He leads us always into triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Your portion is victory in Jesus. Your portion is joy in the Holy Spirit. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. The Bible says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. What a simple, profound statement. Whatever is born of God. Are you born of God? Are you born of God? How many people in here are born of God? Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. So lift your head up and stop being apologetic about being alive. Lift your head up because you're born of God, and that God has given you the victory already. Possess it. Your faith. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 2 and 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 2 and 3. We give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, and your patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God, our Father. You have a work of faith. You have a labor of love. You have a patience of hope. You keep going. You keep moving forward. You keep believing. You keep trusting. Hallelujah. This is your inheritance. You are an heir of Christ, the Bible tells us. In Romans chapter 8, verse 15 and 17. Romans 8, 15 and 17. The Bible says, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. You're an heir of Christ. One of the things that I've noticed is that the enemy will always make you feel less than who you are. All the time, either through people, through circumstances, through issues in life, making you feel less than who you are. But you have to go back to God and find out, or re-establish, renew, regenerate the thought about who you are in Jesus. Try it out. Amen. Try it out. Believe him. If you're sick, try laying hands on yourself. Amen. Lay hands on yourself. Just lay hands on yourself. In Jesus' name, I command you to be healed. Amen. Wherever the problem is, lay hands on yourself. Believe God's word and he will bring it to pass. You are qualified, the Bible says. So you don't have to apologize. You are already qualified. You know, it has nothing to do with the fact that I'm perfect. Nothing to do with the fact that you are perfect. God has already qualified you. He decided to make you qualified. I mean, if God wanted to get rid of you, it's very easy for him. It's very easy. No matter how tough, no matter how intelligent, no matter how beautiful. No matter how beautiful, God can get rid of you if he wanted. But he doesn't want to do that. Because he has qualified you. He decided to love you. He's the one who decided to love you. It's nothing to do with him, you impressing him. Because he loved you while you were yet a sinner. Now, can you imagine? Now you've come into the family of God. How can he not love you? How can he not care for you? How can he not bring you to a place where you have victory in him? When he in fact loved you while you were rebellious. Hallelujah. This is the kind of love. And I want to know this kind of love that is in the word. Not the kind of love that is human. That one day it changes, it switches. One day you're happy, the next day you're not. One day you love, the next day you don't. That's human. But God is constant. The Bible tells us, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not like you and me. He is constant. He has qualified you. You don't have to impress God for him to love you. Just the way you are. Just the way you are. And you can approach God with freedom and confidence. The Bible says, approach the throne of grace with boldness, that you may obtain mercy and find grace in a time of need. Whatever your need is, approach the throne of grace with boldness, with confidence, because you come into a Father who cares for you. I remember some years ago, as a young believer, talking among ourselves, and a story was told about the fact you realize these things as you're growing as a young believer. And the story was told that, you know, God is everywhere, which is true. God is everywhere. And so this young believer said, oh, he's everywhere. Everywhere I go, he's there. Yes. He sees everything. Yes. So the problem was he thought he's everywhere and sees everything. So he was constipated for 1 week. You didn't catch the joke. He was constipated for 1 whole week. Well, oh, it's coming like ripples, you know. It's it's coming. Oh, now it has come there. Oh, I see. You don't. You can approach the throne of grace with boldness. Amen? Amen. The Bible tells us that you are more than a conqueror. You are more than a conqueror. Romans chapter 8, verse 15 and 17. To 17 rather. Romans chapter 8, verse 15 to 17. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Re-emphasis. You are a child of God because God has wanted you to be his. Amen. Just the way you are. Your funny issues, you know. Your terrible temper. Your mood swings. There are some people you have to be careful when you meet them. You have to, first of all, peep. And check how they are, you know. How are you? You have to be careful. Even those kind of people, God still loves. You're still a child of God. Can I hear an amen? Why are you looking guilty? You're a child of God. You are still a child of God. And the most freeing thing I have discovered in my walk with the Lord is that I can approach his throne of grace anytime. Anytime. Just the way I am. Just all my hang-ups, all my issues, I can come. And one of the greatest truths I've discovered is that I can be decisively honest with God. Decisively honest. I don't have to pretend. I don't have to try and impress him. I don't have to try and, you know, break the powers of darkness in Russia so that I can be accepted by God, you know. I don't even know the spirits in Russia, but I want to break them. I don't have to do that. I just have to come just the way you know me, you know what I'm like, you know. You understand everything. You even know what I'm thinking. And that's dangerous knowledge. You know? You even know what I'm thinking. So I just come, just, you know, I can't hide anything. So let's just talk. You know, let's talk about this. Amen. And this is the kind of thing I'm saying to you. When you are decisively honest with God, you say to God, I am coming just the way I am. There is a peace, there is a joy that overtakes your life because you know that you are accepted. Hallelujah. You are accepted. And so, in order for us to overcome adversity, we must take initiative or what God tells us to. He's bringing us to the victory, to the possession of that victory. Pursue, overtake, and recover all. I want you to say it with me. Pursue. Overtake and recover all. Again, pursue, overtake, and recover all. One more time. Pursue, overtake, and recover all. Amen. Pursue, overtake, and recover all. God wants you to get into the possession of what he has made available for you. Hallelujah. I want us to pray. I want us to pray, and we're going to make two prayers. Two important prayers. The simplicity of God's word is where the miracle is found. The simplicity of believing God is where the miracle is found. The simplicity of obeying the scriptures is where the miracle is found. You don't have to know a lot of theology. You don't have to know a lot of complicated things. You just have to obey the word as it has come to you. That is all. It's even enough for a little child to believe and understand and obey. So I want to encourage you, no matter what the circumstance is, perhaps it's a sickness, let's pursue the promise of God for healing. Let's apply, overtake, let's fulfill the conditions. Let go of any bitterness in your heart. Confess your sins. Don't let anything short circuit your faith. And then come into the place where you inherit your healing. you inherit that healing. And if there's anybody who is going through a difficult time, pursue the promise of God. In that situation, fulfill your conditions. This is what you need to do. God says, do this, do it. And you will inherit the blessing. If you are depressed, there is joy in the Holy Ghost. There is joy in the Holy Ghost for you. I don't know how many times it has happened where somebody says, I just came to church and I decided that this is the last service I'm having and I'll kill myself. Now, I don't want you to kill yourself. God says to you, there's a better tomorrow. There is a better tomorrow. This time next year, you'll be talking a different story because you obey God's word and you appropriate it. This time next year, you'll be smiling again. You can love again. For those of you who have been disappointed, you can love again. You can. Let go of that idiot. You can love again. Amen. Amen. I said amen. Amen. You can love again. There are 6 point something billion people on the earth. One of them will love you. Hallelujah. Just the way you are, just the way you are, as strange and as weird you are, somebody will love you. With your funny walk, it's okay. Somebody will love you. Even the way you look like you're walking backwards, somebody will love you. Just the way you are. Isn't that fantastic news? Isn't that great news? Just the way you are, somebody on the earth is going to love you. Glory to God. And God will make sure that such a person comes your way. You pursue. Pursue it. Praise God. Pursue it. Now I want to pray the first prayer. We want to pray for those who are not well. Those who are not well. Please just stand to your feet right now. It's as simple as that. Please stand to your feet. If you're not well, thank you for standing. God knows your faith. God knows your faith. God knows your faith. We don't even want to know what the sickness is. God knows it. We don't need to know it. If you're sick, just trust God. I remember several years ago, at the time I was in Bible school, I was in a place called Dudley, and I was associate pastor of the church. And I'm using this as a testimony. That morning, I was preaching that morning, and God told me that He wanted to heal people. It's as simple as that. He wanted to heal people. And I decided to obey. I can't tell you that in the morning I had some incredible revelation or anything like that. I didn't even have goosebumps. I didn't shake under the anointing. I did not. Nothing wrong with that. But God just simply said, I want to heal people. And I said, could you stand if you want to be healed? And even the elders in the church, one of the elders stood up. And then we prayed together, just believing. We just applied this word. Are you hearing me? We just applied it. I want to pursue this word. See, I want to overtake. I want to recover. So we just applied this word. And we prayed, just like here. We prayed. And without exception, everybody was healed. Without exception. Now, you who are standing, do you believe God can heal you? Do you believe God can heal? Yes, He can. Yes, He can. I say again, yes, He can. He can. And so, as we believe together, and we trust God, we say, I'm acting upon your word. I'm acting upon what you've said. And therefore, I'm going to believe you. And the peace of God will just overshadow you. Amen. The peace of God will overshadow you. I can almost sense that. That's the first group I want us to pray for. And congregation, this is the house of prayer. So let's believe together with these, our brothers and sisters, that God may do a miracle in their lives beyond their expectation. Far beyond their expectation. Far beyond their expectation. Let's believe with them. Because they've stood up and say, I believe God's word. I'm going to pursue. I'm going to overtake. And I shall recover all. Everything that the enemy has stolen, I shall recover. Shall we bow our heads and pray? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why don't you stretch your hands to those who are standing? Those of you who are nearby. Feel what they feel. You would want to be healed. You would want to stand with, to be stood with for healing. And we trust God that in the entrance of His Word, there is light. There is light. And He will change your circumstance. Get to the root of the problem. Get to the condition in the body. Because this body was created by God. And He knows how to fix it. And if you need some spare parts in the body, may God give you those spare parts. May God renew whatever has gone wrong in the body. May God restore you to total health. May God transform what it is that is not working well in the body. Whether it's inside of your lungs, whether it's inside of your kidneys, whatever, in your blood. May the blood of Jesus that cleanses, that breaks every yoke, may it be done in your body. As you believe Him, as you trust Him, may the Word of God come alive in you. May the Word of God bring a newness, a transformation, a new beginning in your life. In the mighty name of Jesus, Father, we declare, we believe Your Word. We appropriate Your Word. We trust You. We proclaim that this is true for us. And in the name of Jesus, we declare Your healing right now in Jesus' name. Be healed in Jesus' name. Be healed in Jesus' name. Be healed in Jesus' name. From the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. Be healed. Be made whole. Be restored. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Now I want you to put your hand on yourself. Put your hand on yourself and say, I am healed. I am healed. I am delivered. I am cleansed. I am set free. There is a new beginning for me. I am pursuing. I am overtaking. I am recovering all. I recover my health. I recover my health. I recover my health. In the name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. I recover my health. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I did this to myself one day and I had a pain that just wouldn't go away. I decided to just recover. I decided to recover. I'm not belittling the problem. I'm not making it small. But I'm exalting God's word. That's what I'm doing. I'm exalting God's word. And then we want to pray for any condition. Because you need to recover all. Recover everything. Recover. Restore. Recover. Recover your marriage. Hallelujah. Recover your health. Recover your confidence. Recover. Recover everything. Recover your peace. Let joy come back. Hallelujah. Let joy come back. And He's giving you joy. That you can smile again. But we want to also pray for those who do not know Jesus. Those who do not know Jesus, please just raise your hand. And we want to pray for you. You want to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. You came into this church. And you didn't even know what to expect. But you don't know Jesus. You can't say of a certainty that if you were to pass on today, you'd be in the bosom of the Father. You can't say that. And if you've never made a decision to consciously give your life to Jesus, then you're not saved. So I want to encourage you, while the opportunity is there, come, because He's waiting for you. And enter into His inheritance. Enter into what He has made available for you. And that is free of charge. So let's bow our heads and pray. Is there someone here? Today, I want to do a turnaround. I want to give my life to Jesus. Could you just raise your hand so that I can see it? Across the audience? Raise your hand. There's one there. Thank you for that hand. Is there someone else? This is your turnaround. This is your time. There's another one there. God bless you. Anybody else? We do not want you to be lost and damned. We want you to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus and come to the place where you enter into His peace and joy. Is there somebody else? Is there somebody else? Please stand. Those of you who have raised your hands, please stand. And come and meet me here as I come down here. Please come. God bless you. God bless you. Stand here. Come and stand here. Just face me here. If you wanted to come and you just felt a little shy, I encourage you to come. I also went through this years ago. God bless you. Thank you for coming. Praise the Lord. This is the greatest decision you've ever made in your life. And you know, the good news is that we shall be together in heaven. One of these fine days, when it's all over. The decision you make now to walk with the Lord is the best decision you can ever make. Everything becomes new. The Bible says the old is passed away. All your sins, everything you've done, God says, I wipe it clean and I give you a new beginning. So you are born again. You are born again. Everything is new. Isn't that great news? And you've responded to the word of God because it's the Spirit of God that was prompting your heart. And He's the one who was tugging at your heart. It's you that He wants. So I want you to close your eyes and I'm going to help you pray. You are simply receiving the thing that has been convicted in your heart. You're receiving from God your newness of life. Okay? So just raise your hands. Raise your hands. If you've never done it before, just feel comfortable. Raise your hands. And then you're going to pray this prayer after me. Okay? You're not praying to the church. You're not even praying to join a church. You're praying to get into the family of God. You're praying that your life may be freed from the enemy. So congregation, let's pray together. Say, Dear Father, I come to You in Jesus' name. I thank You for speaking to me. I thank You for Your word. And right now, I repent of my sins and I ask You to forgive me. Come into my heart. Lord Jesus, I give You my life and I thank You for Your forgiveness. And today, I am a child of God. I am saved. I am healed. I am delivered. And I will be with You forever. I thank You for this grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Let's give them a big hand.